This is episode 13, The One with the Boobies, with Seely Schumer. Hey guys, and welcome to I Have No Friends. I'm your host, Leandra Ryan, and each week I'll be taking you through an episode of Friends while providing comedic commentary through the eyes of the modern millennial female. My guest today is sketch comedian and podcast host, Seely Schumer. She is the host of the Still Got It podcast, and she's very funny, and I'm excited to have her. Hello, welcome.
Hello, hi.
How's it going?
It's good. I just waved.
I
waved at the audience of no one.
I mean, I appreciate that. This is a full body experience.
There is a dog here. I didn't know. It's been such a treat. a surprise corgi. What a day.
There is a surprise corgi here. Yes. So where are we at on the Friends fandom spectrum?
Oh, I can't. I've been training my whole life for this.
Okay, good.
It's we're high. We're at a high level.
Great.
I have gone to Friends themed trivia in the city and played alone and came in second. And I don't know that I'm proud of that, but that is the quickest anecdote for you to know that I'm a big fan.
That sounds fantastic. You're going to have to give me the deets on where this happens.
Oh, absolutely. They do it like every couple months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're good. We're on same level here.
We're going to have a shorthand. We're going to know a lot of things.
Great.
This is certainly not the first time I've seen this episode.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, the first thing that I like to do is a fun fact that I found out about the episode. So Robert Costanzo and Lee Garlington, who play Joey Sr. and Ronnie, respectively, they both appear, you know, as an on-screen couple, obviously, in this episode. They go on to play another on-screen couple 9 years later, Annette and Paul D'Angelo, the parents of Will Truman's boyfriend Vince in an episode of Will and Grace.
Really?
Called Queens for a Day Part 1.
That's cute.
It is. And Will and Grace, I love that because Will and Grace is my number two of all time. I love it very much. So,
as far as just sort of like cherished sitcoms, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It feels like it was the natural progression of Friends. Like Friends was trying to do stuff and we didn't have like the DNA for it in the 90s. And so now it's very problematic, but it's like only because they were trying to do things they didn't know how to do right.
Right. All right. The next thing I want to do is I'm going to ask you a trivia question.
Oh, great. Oh, now I've thrown a gauntlet down already. I didn't know this was coming.
You talked yourself up real big.
It has been. That was several years ago, and this is me backtracking.
So it's going to be from season one, and I have this old trivia book from 2003.
Oh, God. It wasn't even over then. It was like in season
nine.
No,
I know. This doesn't have season 10 in it. What am I going to do? I don't know. If I'm still doing this by then, we're going to have to figure something out.
You'll have different issues at that point.
Yeah. So choose a number between 1 and 182.
Oh, Jesus. 73.
Why was Fun Bobby so bummed when he showed up at Monica's New Year's Eve party?
Oh, God. I mean, Fun Bobby was an alcoholic. And when he showed up at the New Year's Eve party, God, I don't remember. When was this?
Season one.
Hang on, this is gonna come to me. It's gonna like in an hour. I'm gonna be walking home and I'm gonna be like, oh, it's because like he saw someone die. No. He did something dumb. He like broke his shoelace or something. Is that like? He's like, yeah, I'm doing this, and then like everything's bad. And he was really, and he was not Fun Bobby because he was trying to be sober. Am I like close? Am I circling the drain of the answer to this question?
Tell me when you give up.
No, I won't give up. This is the whole episode now. It's just you guys having to listen to me think about this out loud.
Okay.
I've hijacked everything. He says, hi. This man says, hello, I want to kill myself. That's from Ross in the first episode. No, that's not Ray. Okay. I give up, but I feel like it has to maybe do with like a cab or like a piece of clothing. It's one of those two things is what I feel like.
I feel like you're really underestimating the depth of Fun Bobby here.
No, I don't.
Fun Bobby is more than just.
Is he though? Because he was like, they drop him the minute he gets sober and it's very dark.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, he's not fun anymore.
Yeah. So this was before the whole thing where they find out he's an alcoholic and that whole thing. So you were actually closest when you said he saw someone die, because his grandmother died like 2 hours ago, and then he like shows up at the New Year's Eve party and he's like, I'm here.
Oh gosh. No. Okay. I don't remember that part. I feel like that was like a moment in the episode, and then the whole episode is about like him being sober. And I thought he came to the party after he was sober.
There's two different episodes.
Got okay. Yep, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
The whole alcoholic storyline is like later.
It's been a minute since I've seen season one, I'll be honest with you.
No, that's okay. And hey, look, it's fresh in my brain because I'm doing this.
You've just done this.
Yeah. I did that episode like recently. So
saw someone die. Just cut it to the part where I was like, do you see someone die? And then, you'd be like, no, you because, almost got it.
No, because the shoelace thing is really funny.
I truly, like, some part of that is like, I find his stories about shoelaces much more amusing. That's what it is. Okay. I remember it as quotes. I remember the whole show as quotes. And like, if it's not that, it's harder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Which Friends character are you?
Oh, great. I'm Chandler.
Great.
Yeah. But I have some Monica tendencies, as in I'm the only one who like really cares about if the apartment is clean. Gotcha. In my current apartment.
Gotcha. You have roommates.
Yeah. I'm not like proud of the Monica-ness, but it's very much there. Also, I'm a good cook.
Nice. Something to be ashamed of.
Well, I'm not ashamed of being a good cook. That's
it's not. I mean, I don't think you should be ashamed of being a Monica.
Monica is together, but she is made out, because this is the 90s, to be like the least fun.
Yeah.
But I think if you were to make this now, she would be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still have those neuroses.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't make this now. Everyone's trying to make this now. They're not. No one's getting it right.
You're never going to be able to duplicate. Like,
because there's chemistry.
The beauty of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's chemistry between those six. And like, you just can't. I feel like Happy Endings maybe came the closest.
Yeah. I actually really liked Happy Endings.
Happy Endings was great because it was true. It was not trying to reinvent this wheel exactly, but it was still like working within that.
Yeah.
Sandbox, I guess.
I can't believe it only lasted like two seasons, too.
It's fantastic. Like, Happy Endings.
Like, no one, like, you know, everyone missed it, I feel like.
I feel like it was ahead of its time because it came out on Hulu recently. A couple years ago. And a lot of people I know were like, hey, have you heard of this show, Happy Endings? And that's my voice for everyone like, who's dumb.
It was on ABC.
Like. Yeah, it was great. It was so good. And then I rewatched it, obviously, and it's great. It really, really holds up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
But it's because of that chemistry, that cast chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Everyone go watch Happy Endings.
That's the moral of this story. Go
watch
Happy
Endings.
I think it
was on ABC, if I remember correctly.
ABC, NBC.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Yeah.
But it's on Hulu now, so check it out, you guys.
Honestly, worth a watch. If you like, my thing with Friends is that it's textbook. I think some people don't. I've definitely had people say they don't like that because it's boring and it's not
interesting.
It's
like formulaic, you mean?
Of course, yeah. And TV has moved past that. I don't want to watch TV now that's like that.
Right.
But as far, like, I was just watching this and it is so clear. Like, I can write down the ABC story, the cold open and the button.
Right.
Both harken back to the C story because that's like the seeing the boobies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, and then they each heighten, they each have their own, like, it's just, like, if you write a book based on how they structure Friends episodes.
Yeah.
And you do, and it's perfect. It works every time.
Yeah. I mean, formulas are formulas for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They work. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is probably one of the ones that does it some of the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, which.
Like this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this episode. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
So the three storylines that are going on, Chandler sees Rachel's boobies.
You know, they were sitting around a table and were like, okay, what's the funniest?
Yeah.
Like, what's the funniest word that we can also say on TV?
Yeah. Boobies.
That's funny.
Boobies. And then we have Phoebe's new boyfriend, Roger, who psychoanalyzes everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Joey's dad, who has a mistress, Ronnie,
yes,
the pet mortician. So those are the three main things that are happening. Let's start with...
Those are really the only things that are happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, does anyone else say anything? Nope, they don't. Nothing else is going on.
Yeah, they pretty much stick to these three things. So let's start with Chandler and Rachel and the boobies.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what happens is Chandler walks into Monica and Rachel's apartment, you know, uninvited as they do. goes into the fridge, is checking stuff out. And then Rachel comes out of the bathroom post shower and is just wearing like a towel and on the bottom half for some reason.
Yeah, she's doing a thing that no one has ever done.
Yeah.
Which is she's wearing a towel like a beach sarong around her waist. And then has just like a second auxiliary towel that she's just sort of like using with her hair. And she thinks she's alone. So, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But it is very much like one of those things that happens in like TV or movies where you're like, no, no one sits in the middle seat of the back of a car. Like, that's not, like, we just have to do it so that the story can keep moving.
Yeah. So she comes out and she's like, you know, doing the thing with her hair or whatever. And then she realizes that Chandler is there and he sees her boobies. She gets all upset. She tries to like cover up with like a very open weave blanket. And she, the rest of the episode is very upset and offended by this. They decide that to make up for it, she should see his pee-pee, as they call it.
Yes.
Because we're all adults here.
And you know what that is? That is science. So yeah. You gotta...
Yeah. So then it starts this whole back and forth where...
Like, that's the second beat. Well, okay. If you take the cold open out, you have, like, the first beat is, like, later at the coffee shop. She's mad at him.
Yeah.
And the second beat is them upstairs and he's just staring at her because he's now, like, seen under her shirt. And he's just staring, like, at her boobs under her shirt. And Ross comes up with the, you have to see his pee-pee idea.
Which, by the way, is ridiculous. Like, never has someone seen my boobs and then can't stop staring at them under a shirt.
Yeah, no, that's
like you've seen it,
you've seen others.
Yeah,
the experience does not bear out.
Yeah, so it's pretty ridiculous, but
it's a sitcom and Chandler's in an arrested state of development, so
yes. So then they start this whole thing where there's a cycle of people walking in on each other in the shower. So Rachel decides that she's going to go see Chandler in the shower. She barges in and it's Joey in the shower. So then she sees Joey.
It's a series of like assault. It's a series of like creepinesses.
A series of like hashtag Me Too moments, like, I would say.
Like like everyone is their friends. So there's sort of like an inherent level of we all know and trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
So no one is in danger, which is why this is funny.
Right.
But we're definitely off and running on a like, well, you don't need to, like the first one was a genuine accident.
Yeah.
And then this series of retaliations of like everyone sneaking in on everyone else in the shower feels really 90s to me. It feels like, oh yeah, hilarious.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who walks in on who after she walks in and it's Joey. Then Joey...
Yes.
Oh, then Joey walks in on Monica thinking it's Rachel because he thinks that he has to get payback because of that.
Everyone's trying to get
payback. And then, and then Monica comes back and thinks it's Joey, but it's actually Joey's dad.
And that's the button.
And that's the end.
And that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect screenwriting. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No, it's great. Any initial thoughts on this whole storyline that you wanted to...
Well, I feel like I interrupted you and said my thoughts.
No, that's fine. There's no interruptions here.
Well, but basically, yes, it's like it is funny and it's funny in this episode. And also looking at it now from the 2019 perspective, we're like, you guys, I mean, it's all like the fact that you all know each other and are friends and barge into each other's homes unannounced. Like there's an inherent level of like comfort with one another. So it is fine and funny, but it is funny to look back on it and be like, oh, yeah, height of comedy, just like creeping in on people naked when they're just trying to shower. Like everyone's trying to live their fucking lives. And we have this weird quid pro quo, like a very childishness of like, well, I saw you naked, so I have to see you naked.
Yeah.
It's and like, who cares? Truly.
It's like we're on the playground and it's like, show me mine, I'll show you yours.
Yeah.
It's like we're not four anymore.
Like you're all adults. Like you've all had sex with multiple partners. Like stop it. Like there's no need for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is my thought where it kind of works on like a little bit of an infantile level.
Which is why it's funny. Also,
yeah,
because it's like we're acting like children, but we're like 25. Yeah.
Well, and everyone's so embarrassed. And then when you get to Joey's dad, which is the final button of the thing, because this plot point kind of like isn't that important. It's definitely the title of the episode, but it's the C plot because it's not, you know, really mattering that much. And then when you finally get to Joey's dad and he's like, oh, hello, dear.
Yeah.
Like that's so perfect because he doesn't care. He's just like, I'm a grown ass man.
Yeah, it's super funny.
I've got four children, eight children,
and
nine
like
children.
So much back hair.
Yeah, oh, quite a lot. Yeah, it's like, it's not cute. And he's just like, what's up? And all the other one, everyone else is like very cute. The women in the show have like never weighed more than like a wet towel. Like, it's just, there's no need for this.
I have a clip.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
Oh, yes. Could I have one of those?
No, I'm sorry. We're all out of those. Anybody else?
Okay.
Did I miss something?
No, she's still upset because I saw her boobies.
Well, what were you doing seeing her boobies?
It was an accident. It's not like I was across the street with a telescope and a box of donuts.
Okay, can we change the subject, please?
Yeah, because hello, these are not her boobies. These are her breasts.
Okay, Phoebes, I was hoping for more of a change.
You know, I don't know why you're so embarrassed. They were very nice boobies.
Nice? They were nice. I mean, that's it. I mean, mittens are nice.
Okay, rock, hard place, me.
So yeah, she's like super offended that it happened, but then she also wants like compliments.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a good little microcosm of something that Friends like kind of figured out how to do really well, where they have these three, they have three women. They're all very, very different. And it's a sitcom, so everyone's like a little bit of a caricature of the thing that they are.
Right.
Right. Like Joey is dumber than it is reasonable to be. But between like Phoebe, Monica, and Rachel, like all throughout Friends, you have them like she's mad that he saw her, but like she's not ashamed or embarrassed, really. She's more just like wants payback because they always like are coming into her house and like messing up their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they do that throughout the, like throughout the show, where it's like, yeah, you have women who are like having multiple relationships. They're not being weird about it for the most part. Again, considering the 90s where we were all right. Just like, oh yeah, no, and you don't like sluts get murdered in the horror movies. That's what happens. and like, we don't have that. And you have people like holding, or you have women sort of going for careers over men at different times in the show. You have them doing like complicated thing. They're just like more fully rounded people than I think
mm-hmm.
often sitcom women got to be, with the exception, I mean, yeah, no, Seinfeld's, everyone wants to compare Friends and Seinfeld, but they're really not the same beast.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
yeah.
Also, Elaine is just one of the guys, whereas in Friends these women are feminine. No one has to be one of the bros,
right?
And yet they're still all like equal partners.
Yeah.
That was maybe too deep for what that clip was.
No, that's great. Like too beautiful. It's beautiful insight.
I just will defend, like, I know that Friends has so many problems and it's really easy to shit on, and I will defend it till the day I die because I think it raised me. Like,
yeah.
It was just like what was on when I was allowed to not be doing my homework, and so I've seen so much of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I have a general question, like general Friends question for you. Like, so you're a big fan. You've seen it all multiple times.
Yes.
I'm not even guessing. I'm just saying that out loud. For, I don't know the listeners, what the listeners already know. But were you like a little, how little were you when you started watching it?
I don't remember my exact age. I feel like it was like middle school-ish,
mm-hmm.
if I had to guess. I never really saw it in like as when it was live. Like I started watching it like around middle school, but it was like I was never home when it was on. I was very overscheduled as a child. I was like, it was like school and then it was ballet and then it was gymnastics and then it was like, go home and do your homework. But then like, I was also allowed to like stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came on like the WB at like 10 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
I got to watch it. And then I like fell in love with it. And I remember like, I would be like on my couch, like everyone else would like be in bed already. And I'd be like up watching Friends, like laughing out loud.
Like, this is my time.
Yes. And then I remember my mom used to get mad. She'd be like, can you stop laughing so loud? We're trying to sleep up here. And they were like upstairs, like not even near. It's not like they were in the next room or something.
No, just let me live.
So like that was me at like, I want to say like 12, 14, something like that. Yeah. So, and then I fell in love with it. I kept watching it in like reruns and stuff, you know, TBS, like whatever it was on, I was like on it.
Yeah. If it's on, like if it's on and I'm on a plane, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect thing. I'll watch it on the plane. If I'm at the gym or something, like it's just a good comfort blanket.
Yeah. It totally is.
doesn't matter where I come in, I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And I'm somewhere.
No, it's total comfort food.
And I wondered generally, because I know I was like very young when I started, and I think there was, I don't remember what channel it was, but they would show 2 to 4 episodes. I think it was just 2 episodes. So it was like 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I could like, you know, after my overscheduling, it's like I'd come home and be like from 5 to 6 and I could watch it then. And then I had to do my homework and then we would like eat dinner as a family.
Yeah, because it was also on, it was on at like 5 to 6 and then it was on from like 10 to 11.
So I would see it in like, and sometimes they'd play the episodes like all in order from the seasons. And sometimes, like it, I know it was new episodes were still coming out when I was watching the reruns, but it was like whatever was on, like that was the Friends that I got that day. But I was so young, I didn't get most of the jokes.
Right.
So I knew, like I knew all of Friends really well. And then when it came out on Netflix, I did like a full, like, from the beginning to the end rewatch, which I had never seen it fully in order before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, like just so many things. I didn't get most of it as a kid.
Right.
Because I shouldn't have. And I still enjoyed, because there's like a lot there for me still. But
yeah,
I wonder like when you sort of like sink into it, like what you knew, what you didn't know.
Yeah, that's something that we talk about as well on this, because that's totally fair. Like, I mean, when it started, I was 7 and not watching it, you know, like, but even when you're like 12 or like 14 or whatever, and you're like, you know, you don't really get all of that at that age, even, you know, like a lot of the adult, like sexual jokes and stuff.
Oh yeah, of course.
Or like the jokes from like things that reference like things that happened in the, like the 80s.
Oh,
you know, like stuff like that.
Not a bit of that did I get until later.
Yeah.
The clip you just played has Raj in it. Is that the second storyline you want to talk about? Or do you want to talk about Mr. Tribbiani first?
Let's talk about Raj.
Okay.
So Phoebe has a new boyfriend, Raj.
He's not cute.
No, he's not.
Can I just, like, not to be a dick about it, but he's very interesting looking. And the first thing they say when he leaves is he's so cute. And it's like, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Very strange man.
Very strange. Very strange. He's a shrink. He basically psychoanalyzes everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He calls Chandler out for, you know, like keeping people at a distance with like his humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of the first taste that we get of him.
That's why I'm Chandler, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some Chandler in me too. So I get that.
You don't get to do sketch comedy without having a little of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. So yeah, he sort of calls that out and then Chandler's like, what the fuck? And so then Chandler's like, I hate that guy. And then he comes over to Monica's and they're all hanging out and he's like psychoanalyzing like Ross's marriage and how he married a lesbian and got divorced. And then psychoanalyzing like he and Monica's
relationship,
sibling dynamic, and how he's like, oh, you like maybe you wanted your marriage to fail to like make Monica look better.
Again, a textbook moment where we cut from Chandler being like, I hate that guy, and Ross saying he's not that good, to Ross argue. It's just, it's really,
yeah,
it's so simple. It's so clean.
And so then, and then he like breaks Rachel down and she's talking about like the Weebles or something.
Yeah, we never learned what Rachel's trauma was, because she's lived a rather charmed existence.
Something like, to do with Weebles.
Always had money, always been cute. Like she's just like, what? Okay.
That being said, you know.
She has her own
money
issues.
Money doesn't solve all your problems.
Of course not. And her parents are both nightmares. But
yeah,
it was very funny that they cut from like a sibling rivalry to her talking about the Weeble Wobbles. He never really gets to Joey or Phoebe.
No, he doesn't really get to them. He leaves and he says the thing about Monica, watch it with the cookies. They're not love.
They're not love.
And then they like, and then they're all like, we hate that guy.
Yeah.
So then Phoebe's like, oh, like come over to Roger's place. And they're like, we all hate him. She has a conversation with him. And then he has the whole monologue calling out their ridiculous group dynamic, which I love. It's like one of my favorite moments in Friends because it's so self-aware.
Yeah. And it's self-aware in the middle of season 1 where they're like, look, we know how a sitcom goes. We want to keep making this. This is what you're in. Like, this is what's coming.
Yeah.
This is what it has to be, because otherwise TV doesn't work.
Yeah. I actually have a clip of that, so let's listen to that real quick.
It's my friends. They have a liking problem with you. In that they don't.
Oh.
They don't?
But, you know, they don't see all the wonderfulness that I see, you know? They don't see all the good stuff and all the sweet stuff. They just, you know, they think you're a little...
What?
Intense and creepy.
Oh.
But I don't. Me, Phoebe.
Well, I'm not at all surprised they feel that way.
You're not? See, that's why you're so great.
Actually, it's quite, you know, typical behavior when you have this kind of dysfunctional group dynamic. You know, this kind of codependent, emotionally stunted, sitting in your stupid coffee house with your stupid big cups, which I'm sorry, might as well have nipples on them. And you're all like, oh, define me, love me, I need love.
And that's how you know he's a bad guy. He's gotta go. He's gotta go. He doesn't like the friends.
No. But I just love how they just call it out. It's so great. The nipples comment kind of ties back to the boobies.
Again, it's textbook.
Yeah.
And and I didn't get it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh yeah, he's mean because he's yelling and he doesn't like Phoebe's friends. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, that's very incisive.
Yeah.
Incisive commentary.
I also, real quick, want to talk about how in the scene where he's like psychoanalyzing Ross and Monica, she's like cooking or baking.
She's making cookie dough.
Right. But then we cut to like where he's leaving and he's like, watch it with the cookies. And she's eating Fig Newtons.
It was so disappointing.
I'm like, did you make Fig Newtons from scratch? And like, and also like Fig Newtons are healthy. Like she can eat as many as she wants.
You can eat a sleeve of Fig Newtons. Brian Regan taught me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I love especially in the first couple seasons of Friends, it just makes me so hungry to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're always eating pizza. They're always eating like Chinese takeout out of the cartons.
Mm-hmm.
Monica's always like, there's always a dish of cookies. Yeah, it really.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it always looks so good.
Do they still make Fig Newtons, by the way?
Absolutely, they do.
They do.
And okay. They make Fig Newmans from Paul Newman. And the proceeds go to, I don't know, something good. Something better than what Nabisco's doing. I can't promise.
Is it like the same thing?
Yeah, they're 100% the same cookie.
How is that like legal?
I mean, there's knockoff Oreos. They make Numinos.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's why they have to call them Fig Newmans.
The Newmans are taking everyone's ideas.
I'm sure the actual recipe is like a proprietary thing of Fig Newton and whatever, but it's very close.
All right. Well, I am learning new things.
If you watch Great British Bake Off, I think this season they make Fig Newtons, but they don't call them Fig Newtons. They call them something very British and silly.
Mm.
But it's the kind of thing, why on earth would you make that from scratch?
Yeah.
The store-bought version is just perfect. Like, there's no, it's not going to be better if you make it from scratch.
Yeah.
It's going to be so hard.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I don't know. I just feel like if I'm going to go to the trouble of baking, I'm going to make something that's better than a Fig Newton.
Exactly. It's like make the Matilda chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's... Oh, one more comment about Roger before we move on.
Yes.
Oh, two things. One, because he's a shrink and it's the 90s, that's what we're making fun of, which is just like such a twist. Now it'd be like, oh my God, are you dating a shrink? Is he going to give all of us therapy for free? Like, can we all go to therapy?
Oh, that's a good point.
But he also, in one, while they're hanging out at Monica and Rachel's, where everyone hangs out, the amount of dates they have in this apartment, as if that's where you have like a third date, is just wild. But that's a very like Friends and other sitcom trope where it's like, yeah, come over, we're all making dinner. Like, that's not, anyway. He's wearing a wallet chain. You can kind of see
really?
It in like one moment. He gets up and like grabs his coat and walks over, and he's got like a douchey fucking like skater wallet chain. Can I swear? I'm sorry.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you only see it in one scene. It's so weird. It's such a weird wardrobe choice for like this nerdy character that like his shit is on a wallet chain. Like if you clock it, you'll never unsee it.
That's amazing.
I've always thought he was weird ever since I saw that. So, you know, be on the lookout.
That's very specific. I love that. Yeah. And I think as far as the date,
Yes.
I mean, I think because he does say like, oh, we got to catch that movie.
Right. But it does.
So I think
feel...
they're like hanging out, like maybe mm-hmm. they're like, oh, come over for dinner and then like we'll go to a movie. So it's not like that's the whole date. But
You're right. It does feel, though, that he has been there for at least an hour because it's long enough to like get Monica and Rich to get Monica and Ross to yell, to have Rachel cry about the Weeble Wobbles. Like, he's had to have been there for a minute.
Well, I mean, probably at least a couple hours, because how long does it take to make a Fig Newton?
I don't know. It looks like she's making chocolate chip cookie dough. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It looks better than a Fig Newton.
It's bizarre. Anything else on that, the storyline?
No. I mean, Raj is just like a vehicle for being...
Mm-hmm.
To again, to point out the things that they already know. Maybe mm-hmm. to point out feedback they were getting.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, awesome. Let's move on to Joey's storyline with his dad and his dad's
I love this.
Mistress.
This is my favorite.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what happens is Joey's dad comes into town for like a night just to stay with him. He has a job in the city or whatever. He's like at Joey's apartment. He's talking on the phone. He's like, oh, I love you too, etc. And like Joey grabs the phone and he's like, hey, Ma, blah, 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 you know. Which, by the way, Joey's accent is like extra strong in mm-hmm. this episode. I don't know if they like do that because he's like around his dad or something, but he's like his like New York accent's like out of control in this episode.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden you remember he's from Staten Island.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's very, I want to believe it was a really insightful character choice that Matt LeBlanc made where he was like, yeah, you know, when you're around your parents, you regress back to your 14-year-old self no matter what. And I'm going to put the Staten Island accent back on.
Yeah.
But I think really just all the adults, all the not friends and the parents in the movie have, or in the show, have that accent. And so he's just mimicking it back at them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's like, hey, Ma. And then he realizes it's Ronnie on the phone, mm-hmm. not his mom. So then the dad has found out that he has been with this woman, Ronnie, for 6 years.
That's a polyamorous situation.
Well, they're definitely like in a relationship, and
they're in a real relationship.
And he even says like, "Oh, Joey, have you ever like been in love?" And he's like, "I don't know." And he's like, "Well, then you haven't," you know, which insinuates that like he's in love with this woman.
Oh yeah, he's pretty explicit. Like he's in love with Joey's mom, and he's in love with Ronnie.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, which is super funny because later Ronnie introduces herself as the mistress.
And I'm like, Ronnie.
I'm like, bitch, you've been here for 6 years. Like, own it. You know what I mean?
Like, she's hanging out in the hallway eating cheese nips. She's not ashamed. Ronnie's like, look, I got this thing that I'm doing. He doesn't live at my house, but it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's great. Bless Ronnie.
Yeah.
She's living her best life.
She's a pet mortician.
Mm-hmm.
She's very tacky in her attire and, you know, how she... Like, she's wearing, do you see what she's wearing?
Yes.
She's wearing, like, this crazy shiny...
Very shiny.
...vinyl thing, and then it's, like, underneath, it's, like, a full leopard print situation.
It sort of feels like they borrowed, like, they just aged up the wardrobe that they use on Janice.
Because... fair.
Because Friends, not unlike New York City itself, has a real contempt for Staten Island and New Jersey.
And Lee Garlington is very active in SAG-AFTRA as well.
Is that the woman who plays Ronnie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I remember like when I first joined SAG and I went to this like orientation thing and she was like running it. Like she runs like events at SAG.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I never put it together that it was Ronnie.
Yeah. What a great character actress though.
Yeah.
Just kind of sinks right into that role.
Yeah. She's mm-hmm. great.
She seems to be, I couldn't name you other stuff she's in, but I would not be surprised if her IMDb is just like she just works.
Yeah.
You know, she does a random episode of this here, random episode of that there. It just... always a couple things a year.
Mm-hmm.
She probably wants to do more, but you know what? She's working.
Yeah.
And bless.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So she shows up on their doorstep.
Her excuse is very thin.
Yeah. She's like, you left your good hair at my apartment. I thought you would need it for your meeting.
Like, she's been waiting in a hallway for hours.
Yeah.
Well, because I guess you couldn't call anybody then.
Yeah.
To give him his good hair back.
But at least she has a Ziploc bag of cheese nips.
Yeah. She just wants to see him because he's, you know, he's in town. He's not with his wife.
Yeah. So she shows up. Joey freaks out, mm-hmm. you know, understandably.
But he is polite to
he
Ronnie.
He is polite. He lets her in.
I mean, he's a little catatonic at first, but
yeah.
Yes.
He's very polite about it. So he lets her in and, you know, she's hanging out. The dad comes in and he's like surprised to see her. And Joey's just feeling a little weird about it. So they're like, oh, we're going to go to a hotel. And I have a clip.
Go to a hotel.
No, you won't.
No, we won't.
If you go to a hotel, you'll be doing stuff. I want you right here where I can keep an eye on you.
You're going to keep an eye on us.
That's right, mister. And I don't care how old you are. As long as you're under my roof, you're going to live by my rules. And that means no sleeping with your girlfriend.
Wow. He's strict.
Now, Dad, you'll be in my room. Ronnie, you can stay in Chandler's room.
Thanks. You're a good kid.
Come on, I'll show you to my room. That sounds so weird when it's not followed by no thanks, it's late.
Okay, now this is just for tonight. Starting tomorrow, you gotta make a change. 6 years is long enough.
What kind of change?
Well, either you break it off with Ronnie.
I can't do that.
Then you gotta come clean with Ma. This is not right.
Yeah, but this
I don't wanna hear it. Now go to my room.
So we have this really fun, like, role reversal where Joey becomes
mapping.
The parent. It is. It's textbook mapping
textbook
scene.
Textbook mapping. Guys, you're learning a lot about comedy writing today, and mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. But it kills. Like, the audience loves it. It's super funny.
Mapping done well. Mwah. Chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he brings that back at, like, the end of the episode when he's mm-hmm. like, ah, they're parents, you know? Sometimes you just got to let them make their own mistakes,
and
even if you know better.
That's a button to the other thing. Great.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very well-executed mapping here.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically is like, you got to tell Ma, you know, about Ronnie.
He does what we all think he should probably do at this point, which is, like, you've been lying.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But now, from a 2019 perspective, it's like this. Well, we can keep talking about it if you want to finish explaining the storyline.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, again, it's like very progressive. I don't think the show means for it to be progressive. The show is trying to maybe make fun of it. Maybe they backed into something progressive. Like, it's not exactly an open marriage because both people don't know, but both people did know. And she was like, life is hard. Marriage, when Joey's mom comes, which mm-hmm. I love her entrance, her little guest star in this is great.
She's great, yeah.
She breezes in, all the beats are perfect, and then she breezes right back out. It's mm-hmm. just like, of course. Yeah, she has a very Dan Savage perspective on this marriage where she's like, we've always been together. This is working. Mm-hmm. Like, is it ideal? No, but this is life. And it's in like it's working for me. And you see a little bit of her like sadness kind of at the end when she asked Joey, like, could I take her? But that's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's life is like always let your husband find a pet mortician to have an affair with. But
yeah.
But I feel like we as a society have moved into like, yeah, you know, things are complicated. Like, you can't just like vilify people for their choices. You're not inside someone else's relationship.
Right.
Like, perfect monogamy almost does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the time it does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you gotta like choose your battles and like figure out what makes you happy. This is, again, not what we need. Not prescriptive. I was just shocked. Like, I remembered this storyline and I was like, oh, is this going to be like, are we just going to make fun of Ronnie? And we don't really make fun of anyone.
Right.
We're laughing at the situation a bit, but we're mostly laughing because like Joey doesn't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's like there to make fun of. But everyone else is like, yeah, we're just trying to live our lives the best we can.
Yeah.
The show's not telling you this is great, but it's not handling it so terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a defense of friends.
Yeah.
Joey obviously tells his dad, like, you got to come clean. His dad does come clean. And then Joey's mom shows up, like the scene we just mentioned where she's like, what, you ruined everything. Of course I knew.
Yeah.
It was working. And that's the other thing. Sometimes I think people think they're sneaky and it's like, you're not that sneaky.
Right. She was like, he said I'm sleeping over at my accountant's. I mean, what is that?
You yeah. know, like, your father is no James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she says that she wishes he looked like Sting.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Really 1994 moment there.
Yeah. And also like in that later episode when Sting is mentioned again.
Someone's
where,
a fan of Sting on yeah, this writing staff. Yeah.
There's a later episode where Ross's son goes to school with Sting's son,
mm-hmm.
and Phoebe like is trying to get tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's much later, but yes, I do remember that.
Yes.
The police are here? A reunion?
Yeah. So good. So good. Oh, random tiny thing that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
When Joey like goes back to the friends and he's like explaining like, my mom is cool with this. Like, it's so weird, you know? And he's like trying to digest everything. And he's mm-hmm. sitting there with like this huge jar of peanut butter yes. and eating it with his finger.
Yes.
I was like, hashtag so relatable.
Yeah.
Like,
more
I...
more food. They always have something, some business to be doing. It's almost always food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, I use a spoon because I'm a lady.
Sure.
But like,
also,
I
it's just
eat...
harder to clean off your hands.
Yeah. But like, I do that like every day.
Oh, I
like, I love peanut butter. I eat it right out of the freaking
1000%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the freeze dried like raspberries and strawberries you can get from Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
I pour those into the peanut butter.
Oh, shit.
And then I scoop them out.
Like frozen?
No, just like
you like thaw them out. And
no,
then...
no, the freeze dried ones. So they're like dry, but they're like room
oh, they're
temperature.
Dried.
Like the crunchy ones.
Got it. Got it.
They've basically just taken all the water out. I just say I almost exclusively eat peanut butter straight out of the jar.
Yeah.
Because my whole apartment's fucking doing Whole30 right now, so there's no bread in the house.
Gross.
It's awful, but I'm only here for 1 week, so I was like, yeah, I'll do it with you guys for 1 week. It's like, I can't pretend that I can't do this for 1 week.
Oh my gosh.
It's the worst.
Anything else about Ronnie and Joey Sr., etc.?
I mean, no, not really. I just was so kind of pleasantly surprised as it was going on. I was like, oh yeah, this is like... weirdly progressive, because again, because she's not a villain, and I feel like it would be very, very in character for a show from this time to just make her a villain because she's the other woman,
right?
And we have 1 second of it where Joey's mom asks like, can I take her? But that moment is not about that. It's about like him being like, don't worry, like he's happy with both of you,
mm-hmm.
is essentially what she's like coming to her son to check on.
Yeah, everyone treats her very respectfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when she's like, who are you? The mistress?
Yeah.
And Monica's like, I guess come shower here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, one thing I do want to point out. Phoebe is a villain in this because one, she brings Roger with his wallet chain into our lives. And two, when Joey comes in because he's trying to get back at Rachel to see her in the shower, but it ends up being Monica, whatever. Phoebe is sitting at the kitchen table doing nothing. Joey comes in and is like, oh, payback time, Rachel Green.
And she does it.
And Phoebe's just like smiles to herself because she knows it's not. But she's just letting that happen.
Yeah.
Not even to like stop him from going in, but just be like, oh, that's not who you want to see. Because she wants to watch the world burn. And I get that, Phoebe.
Yeah. No, that I thought that was a weird choice too, to have her just be like, oh, I'm just going to let this happen, instead of like, sort of having him go in faster and have her like try to stop, but it's too late. You
or
know?
Have him not say anything.
Yeah.
Where she's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Also, why does she doesn't have to be in the apartment? She doesn't have to be in that scene.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a choice for them to be like, yeah, Phoebe's going to just let this fire burn.
Yeah. I love it.
I think that's all of it. Apologies to Fisher Stevens, who plays Raj. I know I just picked on you for the wallet chain and for how you look. And you're a cute man. It's just a very... quirky choice.
Yeah.
Based on a lot of Phoebe's boyfriends. Fisher Stevens might listen. Who knows? What's he doing? What's he up to?
Hey, if you are, reach out. I'd love to have you on the show.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Well, also, this is before they really started having... The show obviously wasn't a hit yet. I mean, it was doing well, but
yeah.
They didn't have famous guest stars yet because the
right.
Friends list of guest stars is... I mean, it's Julia Roberts,
yeah.
It's Bruce Willis, it's Brad Pitt. I mean...
Robin Williams.
I mean, oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Oh, dude.
That's so good.
And Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm. And they're not even like guest stars.
No,
they just come in and do a fucking bit.
Yeah, they just do the cold open. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, nuggets of wisdom you want to leave with the people?
I have a piece of Friends trivia that I'm fairly confident I have remembered correctly. And it's what character other than the six friends is in the most episodes?
Are you asking me that?
Sure, yeah. You don't have to answer on the air. I just put you on
no.
the spot. It just came back into my head.
I would say Gunther?
It is Gunther. And then followed closely by Jack Geller.
Yeah. Freaking love Jack Geller.
He's like, great.
He's like the best.
He really knows what he's doing.
Another piece of trivia about this episode is the only time that we ever see Joey's parents.
Really? That makes sense, because I was watching this and I was like, I don't remember them from other things.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's one where with all the sisters where Chandler gets drunk and makes out with Mary Angela.
Yeah.
But I think that's just a lot of sisters and we don't even see them all.
And his grandma is in.
Yes.
Is in that. We see his grandmothers a couple times, mm-hmm. but never his parents again.
Yeah, because who else? We see Phoebe's mom and dad a little bit, because that's a story arc in like season three-ish. Obviously, the Geller parents are involved.
Always around. Yeah.
And then Rachel's parents are like kind of involved a little bit as well. Chandler's parents become important because then he gets married and so that's a whole thing. I think it is funny. I mean, another thing that just happens in TV shows where like, you know, you don't really have dates in your apartment that often is like, yeah, you don't stay... You're not 26 and staying in New York with all your friends for Thanksgiving and the Christmas and whatever. Like, you just leave. You don't spend these times of year together.
I actually do.
You do?
I only go home for Christmas. So I'm usually like in town for Thanksgiving trying to find like some kind of orphan situation.
Sure.
I don't see the point in going home and then going home again 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to
just
me.
Get out of the city. Yeah. Get out of it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be here. It's going to be cold. This is going to be your first like winter in New York.
It is.
Yeah, you might want to make some changes. But okay, I take it back. I just remember watching this and I was like, wow, how old do you have to be to like not have Christmas with your family? And like I still do Christmas with my family.
Yeah.
We just drag like my brother's fiance, which is like, yeah, you come to us. Like we're the house where we do Christmas.
I feel like Christmas is like that one. It's like non-negotiable. You know, that's like the one holiday where it's like, you got to be there.
You got to do it.
But like everything else is like, I mean, I haven't gone home for Thanksgiving since college when I lived 3 hours away and I just drove.
Well, and it depends. Yeah. If your family doesn't mind, then you don't have to go. If they make a big stink about it.
Yeah.
Then you got to do it. Anyways, Friends still holds up for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like I'm able to, unlike many other things where I'm like, oh, I can't see past this.
Mm.
It's just, I have such a soft spot for it that I like am willing to forgive it its flaws most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything that you want people to check out or follow?
Check out the podcast that I host. It's called Still Got It Podcast. It's a nostalgic movie review show. We watch a movie that you loved as a kid, a teen, a tween, and then we see if it still holds up. Not unlike the theme of this, but specifically with movies. So most recently we've just done Scream is going to be coming out on Halloween. So that'll be sometime after this episode airs. What have we done recently? Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, the Brandy Cinderella that was a TV movie specifically.
Yes.
But yeah, it runs the gamut. I'm on Instagram at Celia Schumer and I'm on Twitter at Celia Schumer. Twitter's where I do my best work. I'm going to say that's more my speed, but I'll promote shows and stuff on Instagram when I do like sketch comedy or what have you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This was so much fun.
This was great. Any excuse to talk about Friends.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it for this episode of I Have No Friends. I'm Leandra Ryan. And remember, only eat peanut butter out of the jar. Thanks for listening to I Have No Friends. If you like what you hear, please rate, subscribe, and share it with your friends. If you have feedback, ideas, or suggestions, you can email me at ihavenofriendspodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all my social media handles on my website, leandraryan.com. Looking forward to making some friends.